across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Phil Rowe.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Nice to meet our next guest on the programme. And it is that we're going to talk about the Roman Road and Fleam Dyke. They have a long history. They are to the southeast of Cambridge. And when you walk along them, you're getting a glimpse into what the landscape would have been like thousands of years ago. Around your feet are the beautiful small flowers of chalk grassland, at least in the spring, the summer, and into the autumn. A habitat that used to cover large areas of Cambridgeshire from Royston to Newmarket, and of which only small fragments of them now remain. The Friends of the Roman Road and Fleam Dyke help protect those areas to the southeast of Cambridge, outwards from Foulbourne, and the Roman Road nearly out to Haverhill. Julia Naper is the secretary from the Friends of the Roman Road and Fleam Dyke. Very good morning to you, Julia. You like to get along that trail as often as you can?
Well, ideally, but unfortunately, I'm rather elderly and age comes with all sorts of irritating limitations. So, but when I was more active, I used to walk the sites about twice a year in sections. I would walk down, say, from the Wandlebury area down to Worstead Lodge, counting butterflies, because and then I'd walk back up, counting flowers and noticing anything new. I still know them very well, and I have a whole library of photographs, where should we go from here? The thing is, I fell in love with flowers and butterflies when I was 8, 9, in the marvellous summer of 1947.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how old I am. Do the maths. And then life moves on, and you go to school and other things, and then work and all sorts. But I came back into conservation when I was retired, and I suddenly saw the possibilities in conservation work. It's technically known as conservation restoration. You keep what you've got and you try to extend, taking in areas where scrub has covered flowers and they've been lost. It's a huge subject, and I'm getting slightly lost on where to begin. If we go for the flowers, the flowers are flowers of chalk grassland. I didn't know them as a child because I was living in Leicestershire, which is clay soil, and there was this wonderful marsh at Narborough, but in the clay, on the high, dry clay, or the chalk, you get things like rock roses, and thyme, wild thyme, and a delightful thing called squinancy wort.
Wort. Now, I know of wort, and wort was, I think, used in medieval times as a kind of
cure. It's a herb, yes.
It was sort of ground in a pestle and mortar, wasn't it, as a wort, and was given... It's meant to be efficacious, probably is, actually.
Well, squinancy is a word, comes from French, coincé, and it was used to deal with bad throats. It's a calmative for the throat. It has a very specific use in the Middle Ages. I'd never seen it until I walked on the Fleam Dyke when I first got involved in this in 2001. But it's quite easy to see. If you go in the summer, in May, June, the little patches of very small white flowers, that's it.
It's what I enjoy going with some of the naturalists on various walks, which I have been, and they instantly can point out either the call of a certain bird or point to something on the ground right in front of you and say, Yeah, that's a very special plant, and you're about to tread on it probably because it's on the thoroughfare. Well,
yes, that's exactly it.
And the fascinating, their knowledge is just incredible.
Well, it's a speciality like anything else, you know. The world is full of people specialising in different areas. I'm not an expert, but it's just something I love, so you learn it. And the thinking of things for people to look for, a very obvious one, and not particularly associated with chalk grassland, is the purple knapweed and greater knapweed. Some people sometimes say it's a thistle, because if you think of a thistle, it has the same cluster of little purple flowers. And the thing about any plant that has lots of little flowers is wonderful for bees and for butterflies, and let's say lots of other insects, lots of little flies, for example. And the thing is that the little cluster of flowers opens, there's a new one every day. I mean, daisies obviously do the same thing, and you'll see butterflies, especially in the spring, of nectaring on daisies. So those are quite tall, about a foot high, if when the soil is thin. But a lovely thing is the small scabious. It is like the bigger field scabious, which is lovely, lovely lilac colour. And the butterflies and bees love that. The small scabious spreads very easily. So if you look after an area and cut what needs cutting and so on, the small scabious will seed very freely and has spread all down the areas we've been looking after on the Fleam Dyke and on the Roman Road. It's a great delight. And then there are other things like a plantain. There's a hoary plantain, hoary meaning grey-haired. And so instead of having a long, thin seed pod, it emerges with lots of little grey hairs. You will have to contact me and get hold of our leaflets, or look us up on the web. We have a very nice website, www.frrrfd.org.uk.
And if people haven't got that because they can't memorise that, we'll give out that web address a bit later on for everybody.
Or simply think, go onto the web for Fleam, FLEAM, and you'll certainly find our website very quickly, because it comes up. If you type in Fleam, it'll be up there.
And the beauty of the whole area as well, it's where Fen meets Chalkland, because Forbourne Fen comes right up to the edge, really, of Forbourne Village.
Yes.
Don't think of Forbourne at all being a village in the fens, but it is really, from Stoke-on-Quay, the A14 and from the interchange. It's now drained, of course, but it's very flat there. And then suddenly, of course, rise up these chalklands, including the Gogs. So Wandlebury and Wandlebury Hill are part of those chalk up. When we say uplands, we hardly think of Cambridgeshire having very high altitudes, no. Of course, of relief of geography at all.
90 feet on the Roman Road is the highest.
Is the highest point.
But the Magog Magog Hills are natural, of course, and so is Mutlow Hill, which is on the Fleam Dyke. But the banks themselves, the dyke meaning bank and ditch, were made by hand. It was made with enormous effort. Whole groups of people with woven baskets and very rough tools, sometimes stag horns, were piled up these enormous banks to defend themselves from the marauders who came up from the south and, as the famous 1066 and all that said, for wreckage, hackage and pillage. We think these times are rather hard, but life in England in the 300s, 400s were extremely dangerous, and not
Britain
happy.
Was very tribal at that time.
We were indeed, many tribes. They were gradually amalgamating. The main tribes in this area were Suffolk, the South Folk, and Norfolk, the North Folk, Saxons, of course. And their enemies were centred on a kingdom at Chester, generally known as Mercians, and then Romano-British. There were many Roman soldiers who settled here, married here, and formed part of the population.
You always think when the Romans left Britain that they withdrew and the Roman soldiers left as well. But you don't realise that actually many Romans chose, or had to maybe, stay behind and settle in Britain.
And of course the Romans who came to England weren't all Roman. They were raised all over the empire. So there were Syrians and Scythians manning the Hadrian's Wall, freezing, one has no doubt, in the dreadful climate of England, wishing they were home somewhere warm.
I got posted into this very northern outpost of the Roman Empire, as it was at the time. Some people that they've ever visited Fleam Dyke might think, well, actually, this is a very ancient earthwork in terms of, you know, several thousand years, maybe.
Not thousand,
Before Christ. But actually, no. It was excavated by those people using antlers as picks, something like 600 AD to 700 AD.
But between 450, the defence bank begins, well, it really begins with tribal or group boundaries. There were field boundaries would be a raised earth bank, and then it seems to have been increased steadily, and then there was a big building exercise organised by the king of Norfolk and Suffolk. This has been worked out more recently. His name was Radvald, and he is the king who was buried at Sutton Hoo. So I think some people may know, or I hope everybody knows, of the amazing gold treasure that was found at Sutton Hoo. It showed that there was extensive contact with the continent. King Randvald's treasure that was buried with him include beautiful silver bowls sent to him by the Emperor of Constantinople, which is quite extraordinary to think of. He wasn't Christian, but how did he go? Wait a minute. I think there was a point when, no, it is the, I think he converted nominally, but his wife remained faithful to the old gods, just to make sure. They are amazing scheduled monuments protected by Historic England.
So Fleam Dyke is protected as an ancient monument. And the Roman Road?
And the Devil's Dyke as well.
Devil's Dyke was more towards Burwell and can be seen if you use the B Road between Fordham and Cambridge, because it kind of cuts through a small gap.
The road cuts through Devil's through Dyke. It, yes.
But that's a very pronounced profile because you can see it very much sideways on and get the cross section there.
It's a very good way to see how amazing these dykes are.
That tall one, and big.
Of course, is and of course 9 miles.
And a ditch, of course, at that time.
Yes, bank and ditch structure. So your enemies arrived as fast as they could and were confronted by a ditch. So they had to storm down the ditch and then up the bank made by digging out the ditch. And at the top of that, there'd be a stockade. The interesting thing, of course, is that the Devil's Dyke was completed just at the point when the King of Mercia, who was called Anna, interestingly enough, overcame the king, the then king of Norfolk and Suffolk. Can't remember his name. And the kingdoms were united. So it was a sort of classic monument, a bit like Blue Streak, for anyone who's old enough to remember. By the time you've made it, it's no longer any use.
You're talking about the rocket in the 1960s, Blue Streak, which the government cancelled, which is an entirely different subject.
But I can see nothing changes. War between peoples and desperate attempts to defend one way or another and so on. Not much changes. But now, of course, for us, these are just beautiful places to walk, and I do recommend you to go and walk for yourself any time, well, any time of the year, as Philip Rowe said, but particularly as the spring comes in April, the first butterflies, April, you'll see the first butterflies, particularly the orange tip and a small white with orange tips, unmistakable, easy to remember the name, and then the green-veined white, and then the lovely yellow butterfly, which is called brimstone after the chemical, the colour of the chemical.
And that's sort of like a cabbage white, but it's that sulphurous, brimstone-y yellow colour instead.
Beautiful pale yellow. Yes. And the male is darker yellow and the female is paler because she wants to hide and lay eggs on particular plants such as garlic mustard. Garlic mustard is called because it tastes of garlic. And in the days when all you had to eat was bread, a bit of garlic mustard perked it up wonderfully.
Well, do people go foraging along there? Is there anything you can harvest or, shall we say, reap from the land along there?
No, I'm appalled by this harvesting stuff. I mean, goodness me, do be
careful.
That's
why I asked, really, because...
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it could be toast.
It's a whole programme on the television about eating. You know, we have so little left. Just leave it there to seed or to spread its runners under the ground. If you want to grow garlic mustard, it's very easy to grow in your own garden.
Yes, in your herb garden or something.
Collect
like
some seeds and sprinkle them in the shady side of your hedge. You'll get it coming up, and on a wet day it does smell of garlic, and the little white and green flowers attract the orange tip and the female, which is white with the same beautiful underwings. So you'll get orange tips as well as the nomadic brimstones. They wander all over looking for partners, and you can begin the spring with your own homegrown butterflies.
And talking of butterflies, the return of the Chalk Hill Blue Butterfly is the best unknown conservation success in Cambridgeshire.
Yes, I'm most grateful to Philip, because I've been trying to think of a way of getting this around more publicly. The Chalk Hill Blue is a small blue butterfly, a bit bigger than the common blue, if you know it. And it is a lovely silvery blue colour. It had disappeared. It depends entirely on one plant, the horseshoe vetch. Horseshoe vetch looks a bit like ladies' birdsfoot trefoil, if you know your flowers. Otherwise, it's a low-growing, very pretty little patch of yellow, golden yellow. But the horseshoe vetch is the sole food plant of the Chalk Hill Blue. Terribly bad policy. Never have just one food source.
In nature, normally most animals can switch to eating something else. Sometimes they're omnivores, obviously, which kind of means that they're best of both worlds, herbivores and carnivores.
Absolutely. And some of the butterflies have actually switched. So the grizzled skipper has clearly moved over onto eating a very small geranium, which is, the name is not going to come to you, but it's a very, very mini version of the common genera of geraniums. And there are one or two other examples. But so the Chalk Hill Blue depends on horseshoe vetch. The sites, these two, three precious sites, became overgrown with scrub, and things like rock roses, or particularly thyme, wild thyme, and horseshoe vetch, they will be shaded out quite quickly. So you lose the flower, so you lose the butterfly. By the 1980s, it was thought that the Chalk Hill Blue was completely lost from all three linear sites. So butterfly conservation, who play a big role in all this, have had a big search along the dike, and they thought they found about 12 species. So then there was a big campaign to clear the scrub, ideally clear and treat it with glyphosate, or dig it out, much better. Gradually there was more and more and more and more horseshoe vetch, and by the year 2000, 1,000 chalk-heeled blue butterflies were seen on the Fleam Dyke by, correctly, the woman who did a lot of work to make it happen, Sharon Hurl, who was the first Greenbelt officer. And when you have a flush like that, with a bit of luck, things will overflow to another site. So in 2005, the first chalk-heeled blues were seen on the Fleam Dyke with great shouts of rejoicing. And they, I remember going when I was told by some Roger Wolfe, hello Roger, I don't think you were listening to this, and hurried along to see it, and there were 2 to 3 males. They must have brought one of the ladies with them, because the chalk-heeled blue female is brown, so it's quite easy not to see her. Female butterflies are often darker because they want to sit down low among the grass. They are watching out for the birds. They need a little cover while they're laying, looking for a really good leaf. They're very picky. And then laying an egg there and not get taken away by a bird.
And Julia, that's just about where we should end it.
But it's
a good news story, chalk-heeled blue butterflies.
Chalk-heeled blue butterflies.
And if you want to find out more information...
on the theme and on the Roman Road.
And you can find more information on that website, which I promise I will give you again. You can put it into the search engine, Friends of Roman Road Fleam Dyke. Friends of Roman Road Fleam Dyke, put that in your search engine. You'll actually go to the website. And if you want the website's URL or web address, it's FRRFD, as in Friends of the Roman Road and Fleam Dyke. It's FRRFD.org.
I have a challenge for your listeners. How many wildflowers can you name? I'm prepared to bet that there's no one listening who's not any sort of botanist or specialist can name 20.
I'm not sure I could. Although you mentioned quite a few this morning.
Well, your listeners might like to send in their tallies. Do you ever do that?
We could have a go. You'd have a go. studio@cambridge105.co.uk is their email address here. We could come up with some names. How many names of wildflowers can you think of in your head? Don't do that while you're driving, but just let us know. So do enjoy it. If you want to find out more, you can find some newsletters on this website as well. You're always looking as well, very quickly, for any more volunteers that can go out and do some strimming of banks around the Fleam Dyke.
Volunteers to help with the management, yes, indeed. And actually, anyone who would like to be more involved in conservation, I badly need to replace me, actually. So I need someone who's going to get quite involved, but also if somebody would like to help us run our social events. Unfortunately, we lost our wonderful social organiser, Elfrieda Heath, in the spring. And then there are other all sorts of other things. I need a better...
Volunteers should come forward. And, of course, you've got that great countryside to the southeast of Cambridge to enjoy, the Roman Road from Forbourne out towards Bolsham and Fleam Dyke, which, as you said earlier on, is fairly near to Worstead Lodge. It's a very small place.
You can park at Worstead Lodge.
On the A11.
You can park in Wandlebury, pay £3, because Wandlebury gets almost no state subsidy at all. And it's such a beautiful place. So pay your £3. And walk through, enjoy Wandlebury, and then walk through, you'll come to the Roman Road, turn right, and go south.
What a pastime for this weekend. There we are, something on your to-do list to everybody out there. Julia, thank you very much for coming by. I'm sure you've got many more years of enjoying both walking and helping the Friends of the Roman Road.
You so much. It's been fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming by. Julia Napier. Napier is the secretary for the Friends of the Roman Road and Fleam Dyke. Thank you for coming on board this morning.
This is Cambridge 105 Radio.